Mamash, you can already smell Bet HaMikdash. You can smell the barbecue, no? The incense, oh, the nose is tough. Tov, listen, not every day you get Birkat Kohanim from three Kohanim. So, Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem. Ay, 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 Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem. Alanai, alanai, nai, nai, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem. Ay, alanai, nai, nai, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem. Ay, alanai, nai, nai, Baruch Hashem. Na 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 na. I bet you can smell Bet HaMikdash already. I hope that today, you know, today is the day that the heavenly court is sitting and deciding if Bet HaMikdash this year will be rebuilt or not. That's what's happening on Yud B'Tevet. That's why we're fasting. We're not fasting for the past. We're fasting for the future. And today, even though we're almost over with the Tzom, but we still have friends in Alaska that can still pray. So, I hope that each and every one of you did the right achlatot, the right decision, and the right tshuva. I mean, this is a serious day. It's like the hearing of our future. So, Bezrat Hashem, Bezrat Hashem. Tov, we left off. We're in page Reish Yud Zayin, 217, Amud Bet. We yesterday finished a little bit about the garments of the Kohen Gadol, and we gave a few foundations from the Arizal, based on the book of Etz Chaim. And I know it didn't sound so clear, but Bezrat Hashem, as we go now, it will all be a little bit more clearer. We're reading from Parashat Vayechi, so it's talking about that Yaakov was about to die. And it says, Tanya, Vayikrevu Yemei Yisrael Lamut, and it was the days of Yaakov, who is called Israel, to die. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda said, Vai le'alma deha b'neina shalach haman. Oy va'avoy for this world, oy to this to human beings, and to the it says it in two ways, b'nei ha'olam, the sons of the world, and the human beings, that they have eyes, but they don't see. Velo shema'an, and they have ears, and they don't hear, listen. Vela yadin, and they have a comprehension, they have a little bit of a brain, and to understand something, and they don't try to understand. Especially, he's referring to here to the secrets of the Torah, but we're talking here in general. Deha kol yama veyoma kala dechoza ishtama, b'matan v'chamshin almin. Every day, a heavenly voice goes out in 250 worlds, and it's announcing. And it is announcing that, what is it announcing? Dehainu machrizin, shekol achat kulam esar chamishim. In all five worlds, that each five worlds is complete, included in 50. That's where it comes up to the numbers of 250. If you remember yesterday, we spoke about that there are four worlds that we are familiar with. Atzilut, Bria, Yetzirah, and Asiya. But there's another world above Olam Atzilut that is spoken about a lot in the Zohar and in Kabbalah. It's called Adam Kadmon. Usually you will find it as an acronym as Ak, Ayin Kuf, Aleph Kuf. We explained yesterday, if you remember, in one of the sections that Arizal explains that in every world there are five partzufim, and each partzuf has 10 sefirot. So it makes it 50 levels in each world. So we have five worlds, 50 levels, gives you to 250 worlds. That's why when this heavenly court comes and announces every day, It's announcing it in 250 worlds. Now, he adds and he says, each and every one of these worlds are included in another 250 worlds. And what is it announcing? What's going on in Shemaim? Tana alma chada ishmoda leila. We learned that the world, the one world, knows what is announced from the world that is above it. And we know that there's one world above, and this is the third world from all three worlds that are coming from the world that is called Tikkun. There's two major worlds that precede this world. One of them is called Olam HaTohu, and the other one is called Olam HaTikkun. But from each one of them, it branches out to much more worlds. We'll explain this in a second. There's one world that is above the three worlds that come out of the world of Tikkun. And we know that from the first world, there are 13 Tikkunei Dikna, 13 Tikkunim that are coming from the concept that is called the beard. Where is it coming from? The Avim, from both the Chochma and Bina of that world. וזה העולם השלישי מתפשט עד עולם העשייה. And this third world is has it manifests all the way down to the world of Asiya, but the main part of it is spread in the world of Matzil, of Malchut of Atzilut. Now, before we understand what's this announcement, it's a little bit sometimes how to understand the concept of the worlds. What do you mean worlds? When you say a world, I imagine a planet. And millions of people are on this planet. How can it be that a world comes out from a world? The easiest way to explain it, I know we don't have much time and we want to go a little piece at least. Maybe we'll do another time. I told you we should do a sidetrack from the Seder to learn a little bit more in depth about the worlds. The easiest way to explain it is that I am a world, and you are a world, and you are a world, because in my world, I am the main actor and everybody else are secondary actors, and there's actors that I never even met. But I will meet my wife, and now there are a collision of two worlds, because my world is my world and my wife is a whole different world. And there is a common denominator here, but it's a whole different world. And most couples, they think they know their spouse. You don't really know your spouse. It's a completely different world. If you're lucky and you have a normal relationship, then you're kind of sharing some information from these worlds. But then, with that collision, is born a new world and comes out another world. I have a child, then I have another child, and another child, and hypothetically, I can have as many children as I want. I mean, hypothetically, I mean, I'm limited with time and with years and with money. But hypothetically, can be many, many worlds. So comes one world, and it births another world, and births another world, and births another world. There is a common denominator between the worlds. There's things that are similar, and there's things that are completely, completely different. This is just in a real short understanding. What does it mean that there's a world, and then another world, and another world? Where are all these worlds? I mean, whether they're like hovering in the universe, like planets, like balls, are just hovering everywhere. So that's why we're going to have to make maybe just a class just about that to understand it, because we talk about it a lot, the concept of the worlds. Nevertheless, we know that one world just branches out to another world, and like a father and a mother can have many kids, then one world, it so to say, births and branches more worlds, and there will be underneath it in the level. The difference between a mother, a father, and a child, that physically the child cannot be older than the parents, but he can definitely grow in the spiritual level in a much higher level. In the world, it doesn't work like that. The world is a little bit different. The world, one cannot go above, a world cannot go above a world. But not to waste too much time specifically about the world, let's just continue a little bit. V'chad karoza nafik. Now when this announcement, it goes out, when does it go out? It goes out at night, and it goes from those 250 worlds, and it gives permission from to the klipot to suck kedusha. Where? From how did you call it yesterday? Tit? From the teat. of the world of Malchut Adatzilut. Ahu alma mizdaza mitchalchala. Then the world below is shaking and trembling. Mizdaazeh, it means that it's completely shaking, and mitchalchel, that it's penetrating into the to the depth of it. For what? To the kol hakore, to the sound. Lefi sheshamu shoresh hachochma vebina, the nukba, the klipat noga. If you remember yesterday, we started that Arizal explains that everything in the world has a lumatze. Everything is going to have something that is, so to say, opposing it, and in the same level. So there is part of Klipat Noga, is part of it is in Kedusha, but some part of it is in Tuma, in the Klipa. So there is a Chochma and Bina in Klipat Noga. And there is the Chochma and Nia, the root of the Chochma and Bina of the Klipat Noga that comes from the world of Atzilut. This is where the Yenika, the so to say, the sucking of the Klipa comes from. Unfortunately, believe it or not, Hashem allows the klipa to have a yenika. It has to. Hashem created it, he has to sustain it. So it has to have some type of yenika, some type of sucking from Kedusha. Because that's how Hashem created the world. Hashem also feeds the Rashaim, which is in itself a big question. How is Hashem feeding all these wicked people? Is giving them life. Wicked people like Hitler, Yimach Shimo, you know, now they made this day, the rabbis, the rabbinical authority, after the Holocaust, they made Yud Betevet, the universal day of Kaddish, for all these souls that we don't know the day that they were murdered, and where they even buried, or if there isn't even a burial. So, right after the Holocaust, I don't know if to call it a rabbinical council, but they decided, let's do Yud Betevet, the global day of Kaddish. For so many, unfortunately, bodies that were not buried and souls that never got the Kaddish for them. You heard now at the end of that filah, he said Kaddish. So one can ask, how come Hashem sustains the wicked people? I mean, I don't understand that. That's a big question that up until today, there's no real good answer. What, Hashem can't pull the plug and have all the wicked people die? Obviously, there's a reason for them. And not only that, I told you yesterday what Ari says. The world was created with rules. And the rules is that Hashem doesn't break the rules. And yes, part of the rules is that there are going to be the Le'umatze, the other side of Kedusha, and that also has to be sustained. It's almost like you have a prison for terrorists. Why do you feed them? Just let them sit there and eat each other. Why were you feeding them? You know, in the army, I was in a special unit, and we used to go sometimes to prisons, maximum security prisons of terrorists, because we used to do break in them, because they have everything there. So we would sit there sometimes for 2-3 days to observe what's going on through cameras and from above. To follow what's going on. They would have trucks from the Red Cross backing in there with food. You can't even imagine what they used to get there. They lived there like kings. And we always be like, we're the soldiers. We're getting like this disgusting food, and the maximum security prisoners are all terrorists and above, and they're having truckloads of food and they're living like kings. Same thing here. How does Hashem sustain the Klipa? Why? Nevertheless, this is a question we're not going to answer today, but nevertheless, the klipa has to get some chayut. Where does it get it? It gets it from the level, from the world of Malchut of Atzilut, specifically coming from the sphere of Chochma and Bina through Klipat Noga, and it has to get there. The only problem is that there is a chashash, a scare. Maybe it will get too much. That's the problem. Bechlal, the Zohar says, not here, in a different parasha, that we want to understand what does it mean, the klipa, is the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Zohar gives a parable. The Hashem wanted to see, there was a king that wanted to see how strong the son is. Because, you know, the son has to be king one day. So he decided to hire a woman that her job is not so respectful, and to tell her, he told the king, told the woman, here's money, and he gave her a lot of money, and he told her, you see that guy over there? That's my son. I want you to tempt him. I want to see if he will fail. So he hires this woman. The Zohar Mamash calls it Zona, a prostitute. Sorry, using that word. I don't know any other words. But anyways, and she was, her job was to go and seduce the son. Now, she didn't want to take this job. On one hand, she can say no because the king gave her an order. On the other hand, she doesn't want to be the one that the son is going to fail because of her. So she doesn't know what to do. So she says, you know what, I have an idea. She goes to another woman and she tells her, here's a lot of money. Go and tempt that man over there and make him sin. And by the way, it's the son of the king. So the second woman is like, oh, I don't want to be involved in this either. Who wants this job? Well, now I'm going to make him fail. And now all this weight is going to be on my shoulders. So the second woman went and hired the third woman. And then the third woman hired the fourth and the fifth and the sixth. Until it came to generations of women. The only problem is that somewhere along the line, the message that it's the son of the king was forgotten. So the klipa in our generation, yeah, it's hired to go and go against us. It doesn't even know that we are the son of the king. So it goes against us full power. Rabbi Shimon says here that there is a chashash, there was a scare, if a little bit too much kedusha, too much chayut, I wouldn't even say kedusha, a little bit of life, will be given to the klipa. Ve'az, and then, nafka itren tziparim. Remember, we talked about the two birds. Remember yesterday we talked about it? We don't need to repeat, right? Come out two birds, and these birds are chokhma and bina. They staklu mehahu alma. They went up to the world, to this third world that we were talking about. Imagine from olam tohu comes out a world, and from this three world comes three worlds. In Parashat Bereshit, in the Zohar, it's explaining about the four rivers that go from Gan Eden. It gives them a little bit more of a deeper explanation, but now we'll just leave it as it is, that these two birds are coming from their Chochma and Bina. They're coming from these three worlds. They, first of all, they got elevated into this world and pulled from it this Kedusha. The Medorehen Tchot Ilana, the Chezu, the Chazer Motabe. That where are these birds dwelling? They're dwelling underneath the tree. And this tree has an image of a mixed image of life and death. This is a special tree. Bechlal, we know that in many places we'll see in teachings of Kabbalah that it's talking about a structure of a tree. We have the tree of knowledge, the tree of life. There's a tree of death. There's many different types of trees. And we imagine in our mind like a tree. But really, it's not that's what's going on. Rather, take the nature of a tree, that it has roots in the ground, and that it has a trunk that goes out, and the tree develops something, develops fruit. It has leaves, sometimes has flowers. Nevertheless, these two birds, they dwell under this tree, and this tree has an image of life and death mixed together. What does he want to say? Tachat zachar v'nekoveh adolam abriya. This world, this tree is positioned underneath the chokhmah and bina of the world of bria. Shehem chotam udmut shel zun. And this, it's a... remember we spoke about it last week, about the concept of the stamp. That if I want to stamp something on a paper, then the stamp itself will be the opposite. If I want to have a certain weight, and if you're looking now at the stamps, the letters are upside down on the stamp. So the Chochma and Bina, our friends? Yeah. No? Chochma and Bina from the world of Bria is a stamp, so to say, to the world of Atzilut. Shem Chotam V'dmut Shel Zun De'Atzilut. It's not a carbon copy, because carbon copy is like what it actually copies. Rather, literally a stamp. It's in Hebrew, it's called chotam. Chotam is the concept that one side is the original, and when it presses over the next side, it will transform the complete opposite, like a mirrored effect. Now, the chokhma and bina of olam ha'atzilut, that is called etz ha'chaim, the tree of life. Because it's coming from the Zir Anpin, from the Midot, and from that comes the tree that is called the tree of the death. And tree of death comes from the side of Malchut. These are these two birds that they came down to the world from the world precedes Tohu into the three worlds. And then it goes down and manifests into the world of Malchut De'Atzilut to the place, there's like chambers in Malchut De'Atzilut. We call them Heichal. Heichal, we said yesterday, is like a hall. But there's seven of them. If you remember, the Ari says that in the seventh Heichal, in the lowest Heichal of Malchut of Atzilut, then it's the closest to the world of Briah. This is where the Klipa, it sits there. There's a story. You know, let me finish and then I'll tell the story.
So, the lowest Heichal of Malchut?
The Klipa dwells in the lowest Heichal. There are seven Heichalim, I don't know if to say a chamber, but rather halls, in the world of Malchut of Atzilut. Bear in mind that each one of these worlds that we know of, they have numerous worlds in them. And the Klipa is sitting in the lowest level of the seven worlds of Malchut De'Atzilut, which is because it's closer to the world of Briah. Why? Ve'le'asot sham mochin la'anukba de'klipa. So the Klipa becomes the mochin, the intellect, the chokhmah and bina of the side of the Klipa. The Klipa also has chokhmah and bina. But this is coming from Klipat Noga De'Atzilut, that it's dwelling specifically in the world of Briah. There is a story, I'm going to get to your question in a second, and I think we can maybe pray in a minute. There is a story that the Baal Shem Tov, he went into the forest. He was a little kid, he was an orphan. And, some might call him a little bit of a weird kid. He would just walk around in the forest and barefoot. And one time he disappeared. He used to disappear for days. And the story says that one time he went into the chamber, the palace, or the headquarters of the Samech Mem, and he just walks in there. And the Samech Mem tells him, "Yeah, kid, what are you doing here?" So he said, "I came to uproot you, to fire you. I came to fire you." And the Samech Mem, sitting there with all his generals, and they wanted to get him. And the Baal Shem Tov only said one verse from Tehillim, and he says, "V'itbatlu kol po'lei aven." Po'lei aven is somebody who's going and doing aven is bad things, pesha and avon. And he says, "Yitbatlu," they should be completely canceled, "kol po'lei aven." And he was able to cancel most of the power of Klipa in the world. That's why the light of Chassidut came down to the world to light up the world. That's why specifically we have to spread the teachings of Chassidut around the world, because it's like these lamplighters. The Baal Shem Tov had the power. He went to the chamber of Mashiach. He had the Aliyat Neshama. And he went and he saw Melech HaMashiach. And he told him, when are you going to be coming? So he says, whenever you spread your wellsprings of Chassidut. But the story says that he went into the forest. The reality is that the Baal Shem Tov had such an Aliyat Neshama that he was able to go to this world of above the world of Briah, for the world of Malchut of Atzilut, to find where the Klipa is actually sitting there, and to do a root canal from the source, not from the world itself. Because the Klipa is rooted, believe it or not, in the bottom of Malchut of Atzilut. That's where the Klipa, why is it there? Because the Olam Atzilut, there's no creation yet. Only in the world of Briah started the creation. So right away had to become also the Klipa, had to be created. So the Baal Shem Tov went over there, and lucky we are that he did that, because before the Baal Shem Tov, the world was full of witchcraft and black magic and sorcery and witches and demons, and now we barely have it. Now we have maybe 5-10% of it is left. But 400-500 years ago and going back, it was a very strong, powerful of Klipa. So now, Baruch Hashem, it's only left for us to sweeten that little bit of Klipa that is left. We're going to continue tomorrow. But he's giving us here a very unique hint. He said, "Vayikirvu yemei Yisrael lamot." The days of Israel was close to die. And what does Rabbi Yehuda say? How does he start? Oh, those poor people that they have eyes and they don't see, they have ears and they don't listen, and they have a little bit something in the cup, and they don't even think. Why? Because he's saying here, that they have eyes and ears to see, but the dat to learn Pnimiyut Torah. The only way to sweeten the dinim, or mainly to cure the klipa from its root, is only by learning Pnimiyut Torah. So now we're lucky, we have Hasidut all over the world, we have accessible teachings of Kabbalah, we have the Zohar, we have so much Pnimiyut Torah that for years, there are many reasons why, till about the time of the Arizal, it was not taught, because there was not enough power to guard it if it would come out to the open. Because the klipa was way, way, way too powerful. And nobody was able to come now with this out with the, to be able to sustain the klipa. The klipa would right away have yenika from it. So it was not exposed. The Arizal was the first one. You know, there was a lot of Kabbalah before the Arizal. When Arizal was the first one that was able to bring it to a point that, okay, now it started to be more accessible and it can be exposed. The hint that we have here, that's what we want to take from that, as we want to learn something practical for every day, not just to learn terms that I don't even know what they're talking about. All sorts of worlds and all sorts of sefirot. That doesn't really relate to me. I don't even know what it means. The bottom line is, I need something practical. He's saying practically here, since the klipa, the source of the klipa is in the world of Atzilut, in Malchut of Atzilut, even though it's in the lowest realm, and it's as close as possible to Bina, and it is affecting the Chochmah and Bina of the klipa, then it means that I have to empower the Chochmah and Bina of the Kedusha. The only way of doing it is learning the Pnimiyut of the Torah. The only way of doing it is learning all the mysticism of the Torah, that my Da'at, that my Mochin is enriched with this information. And by default, I don't need to do anything. By default, it will be elevated to the world of Atzilut. I don't have to do much. That's where it's sweetening it from the source. We're going to continue that tomorrow about this cruise, about this announcement that happens in Shamayim. But practically, we have to increase our learning in Pnimiyut Torah. We cannot leave the oral Torah. This is very wrong when I see a lot of people that they learn 6-7 hours a day Hasidut and Kabbalah and they don't learn any oral Torah. No Nigle, no Gemara or Shulchan Aruch. It has to have a very good balance. But we have to increase. So we're going to have to add a few more classes of Hasidut and a few more classes of Zohar. Start learning a little bit more Kabbalah. Just because so our Mochin will be enriched with these teachings, not to make me smarter. Not so I can go and say I know all sorts of terms in Kabbalah. To be able to empower the Chochmah and Bina of Olam Atzilut, specifically to overpower the Klipa. We don't fight our enemy with our hands or with our swords. We fight our enemies with our mouth and with our brain. So we have to increase in that. As Azaz Hashem, we increase in that. We will definitely see the revelation already very soon. So we can learn exactly what it means, all these sefirot and all these terms. And needless to say that this image in the world that has a mixture of the tree of death and the tree of life, we have to remove the image of the tree of death just to say with the tree of life. Bezrat Hashem.